SBS live streams and podcasts are supported by advertising.
Vous êtes avec SBS French.
Votre communauté, vos conversations. SBS French.
Great pleasure of welcoming on SBS French Serge Hou. Bonjour and welcome.
Bonjour and thank you for having me.
Serge, you directed for Wild Bear Entertainment a new documentary called Under a Bamboo Sky. It's a previously untold story of Australian POWs. What can you tell us about this new documentary you've just made?
Well, it is a story. It's quite an incredible story about a group of POWs who, for 3 years, were prisoners of the Japanese from the fall of Singapore in 1942 until the liberation after the atomic bomb in Nagasaki in 1945. And it's quite a remarkable story because I think this story is, parts of this story have been told in different ways. But this is a, if you like, a complete narrative of this group of men who experienced the fall of Singapore, were then moved on to work on the infamous Thai Burma Railway, were then shipped to Japan, a treacherous ocean journey to Japan where they were torpedoed by American submarines. Many people died on that journey, and then used as forced labor in mines and factories in Japan up until the end of the war. So it's quite a remarkable story in terms of an arc of their experience for 3 years.
How did the idea come about, and what new technology did you use to bring this documentary to life?
Well, I've always been, I think it's a slightly personal thing here, is that my father, as a young child, grew up outside the infamous Sandakan prison camp, Japanese prison camp in Borneo. And it always struck me the experiences that my grandfather talked about in relation to living so close under the Japanese, next to a prison camp, which is really, it's a terrible and notorious story in itself. And that always interested me as a child. And I've done a lot of work on the Australian experience in conflict, you know, across the last 100 years, you know, the conflicts that we've been involved in. And so this was another chapter, I suppose, of something I wanted to explore. I wanted to explore it because I am very interested in the resilience of the human spirit as a filmmaker. And this is probably one of those ultimate stories of resilience, hope, of survival. And that's where it started. We came across this wonderful archive of oral histories from the veterans themselves. And we thought we could tell this story as a first-person narrative through their words, and take the viewer on their journey in their words. And then we started to sort of evolve the techniques in terms of how we would tell that story. So one, we didn't want it to be a collection of older veterans, you know, in their 70s, reflecting on their experience. We wanted their words to tell us the story, and so we came across what was known as paybook photos. So when they enlisted, photographs were taken for their paybooks, and those photos were taken at that age. And at that age, they were, you know, between 19 and 30 years old. So these are very young men, and we felt that we could use these photographs, bring them to life with new technology and digital enhancement, so that as they told you the story, you met these people and you experienced their journey firsthand. And then what we also had was the opportunity of obviously finding a lot of difficult detective work, of finding a lot of archival footage that we could build around that. We've colorized that footage, some for the first time, which I think is, you know, really brings this to life. And also we were fortunate enough to be able to go to many of the locations where these things happened and to give you a first-person perspective of these environments as well. So that was the I suppose, the world we've built, you know. It's not a traditional documentary in the sense of talking heads or a narration. It is their first-person account, and we move through the story with these men as it happens.
Yes, it's quite confronting, I must admit, when you see the documentary. And the thing that sticks to my mind is how the diggers kind of like where the mateship came to the fore. They always help each other, even when food was atrocious. They lost a lot of weight, and they never lost hope. But mateship was very, very important.
I agree completely, and I think sometimes, if I'm honest, mateship can be used just a bit too easily. But I think this is a real example of that, and they talk firsthand about the idea that their friends, that they were in this, you know, incredibly, what I would call a hothouse of hell situation, that they were so close to each other, that they looked after each other, and that they were there when their friends died. You know, they were there present to support them. And I think it is, when we talk about mateship, I think this is really a strong example of that mateship.
Yes, and when some of them died, their mates were there around them, compared to the British.
Correct. There is some, you know, there is one quote they were saying, I never saw... I often saw an Englishman die on their own, but I never saw an Australian die on their own, and because we were always there with them. And, you know, I think that collective hope, that collective resilience, helped so many of them survive this quite remarkable journey.
A new SBS music station is coming.
SBS Pop Euro.
Filled with Eurovision hits non-stop.
You want more?
Tune in from the 1st of May.
On DAB Radio, online.
The SBS Audio app.
And SBS On Demand.
SBS is Australia's most trusted multilingual broadcaster. Our listeners are loyal, highly engaged, and have supported countless local businesses. We offer advertising packages for businesses of all sizes. Our experienced sales team will guide you through the process of owning a great campaign. Bring your own ad or have our production team make you something in one of our 68 languages. Start the conversation with your new audience today. Email sales@sbs.com.au.
And perhaps one aspect of the documentary that we are not quite aware of in Australian history is how the diggers went to Japan to work in the coal mines, and so many of them died. And as you mentioned, they were attacked by the US submarines on the way there, and some disappeared with suffering atrocious death, drowning, and so on.
Correct. And I don't think that's something that is quite well known. And I think this was another part of telling this story. I think that we were looking at things that perhaps are not. People do know about the Thai Burma Railway, and they do know about, you know, the Changi prison camp, but I think they're less familiar with those elements of the story in relation to that journey to Japan, which was incredibly treacherous. And I think, from memory, I think about 1,800 Allied POWs died on those voyages, you know, to Japan. It was quite horrendous. And then the conditions in Japan, as you can imagine, it's we're coming to the latter part of the war. The Japanese need more resources, so they're pushing, you know, they're using this forced labor, a group of forced labor, to mine coal, to work in the factories, to keep, you know, to keep the country going in this last chapter of the war. And I think that the brutality never relents, if you like, you know. I think and then also them being witness to one of the most significant moments in, you know, 20th century history, when the atomic bomb is dropped on Nagasaki, and they're witness to all of these incredible moments in, you know, of the Second World War.
And then when they return to Australia, they try to readjust to normal life and family life. There are no counselling services, and a lot of them didn't want to admit what happened, and they kept it inside themselves. And there was a lot of alcohol abuse. They couldn't hold a job. Some of them committed suicide. And I think at the end, you say that 25% were totally permanently incapacitated.
Correct. And I think this is, we all, in modern age, are starting to understand the trauma that veterans, in any conflict that they carry. This more so, I think, in some ways, because these people were, if you look at, you think of the World War II and conflict, you think of people that, fought in campaigns and then pulled back behind the lines and had some time and did all these things. And these people never had that opportunity. They were constantly on edge, constantly for 3 years wondering if they would make tomorrow. And the other thing that's interesting about these people is that so many of them wanted to fight, that wanted to represent their country, and they didn't get that opportunity. And they were prisoners of war. And at that time, when they came home, prisoners of war were seen as lesser veterans than any other veterans. There was a wonderful quote, it's not in the film, but one of the people had said that when he came home, his family had a function to welcome him home, and the local butcher was there. And the butcher said, oh, so you were a prisoner of war? And he said, oh, yes, it was, he didn't want to talk about it, but he said it was quite a horrendous experience. And he said, what are you worried about? You got paid. I think this disconnect of people looking at them as lesser veterans was problematic. And for them, especially to reconcile what they'd been through, was very difficult for them. And I think that amplifies that trauma. And the fact that they had to to try and reconcile that for the rest of their lives. Very, very, very difficult. Very difficult. We're having screenings across the country in theatres through April. And if anybody's interested in getting details on that, that will be in urban and regional areas all across Australia. Some special event screenings prior to Anzac Day. And can I say the website?
underabambusky.com.
That's right, for more details as they're coming in now. So we're starting to get more information in relation to the screening. So up to Anzac Day, we're hoping that, people will be able to hear the story, to experience the story, and to hopefully get an insight into this remarkable journey.
Another project you've been working on is a collaboration with us, SBS, and your company, Wild Bear Entertainment. Tell us about this production, A New Anzac.
A New Anzac is a four-part series, and it will be on SBS in April. And what that series does is it's chronicling the redevelopment of the Australian War Memorial, which is going through a new phase of redevelopment, new galleries. And the idea behind it is that now we have the opportunity to represent, we have now 100,000 new contemporary veterans, and what the redevelopment is doing is giving space for their stories to represent them through peacekeeping operations, through the actions in the Middle East and Afghanistan. And I think it's a really wonderful kind of insight into what I would hope is the experiences that contemporary veterans have been through.
And Serge, what would you like the audiences to remember after seeing Under a Bamboo Sky at this period of national remembrance in Australia leading to Anzac Day?
I would hope that they see another side of the veteran experience, something that I think is, again, very, something that touches me greatly. And I think it's this idea of a unique perspective on the veteran experience, something that has been talked less about in relation to the Second World War, but also this idea of hope and resilience and of the human spirit. I think that's really what I would like to come out. I know it's a challenging watch, but I think it's a rewarding watch in the sense of actually understanding that. And I think your idea of you mentioned mateship and that idea that, they really did care about each other and supported each other through something that I think very few of us could even possibly understand that experience. And I hope it shines a light on that experience and gives an insight into, something that Australians have experienced.
And tell us about some of the future projects that you may be working on, that maybe you have in mind, because you've done quite a few historical documentaries in the past.
I have. I've done a lot of work in, especially in France, actually. You know, for the on the Western Front, a lot of First World War programming, as well as, you know, and the Australian experience of the First World War, and also I was involved in the. I created all the content for the Sir John Monash Centre, which is the Australian representation on the Western Front, and that is an interpretive centre which tells the story of the Australian experience on the Western Front in the First World War. So I've been very blessed, I suppose, to be able to help tell these stories and to continue the legacy of these stories for a younger generation, and for people who perhaps we're moving so far away from these times that it's important that these stories keep resonating, and we keep remembering these stories. And so that's it. I think we, in the future, a few other projects I can't really talk about yet.
It's a secret.
I'm not allowed to. No. So, but you know, that also the last few films that I've made have been very much focused on human resilience, and they haven't necessarily been military history. But you know, I'm really interested in what we can do as human beings, how we can help each other, and how we can experience in some ways great tragedy, but overcome it and move forward.
Thank you so much, Serge, for coming on to the French program on SBS Audio, and all the best for the future.
Je vous en prie, many thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Votre communauté, vos conversations. SBS French.
Aimez, partagez, commentez. Suivez-nous sur facebook.com/SBS French.
A new SBS music station is coming.
SBS Pop Europe.
Filled with Eurovision hits non-stop.
You want more?
Tune in from the 1st of May.
On DAB Radio, online,
the SBS Audio app,
and SBS On Demand.